Okay, Rabbeisai, today's daf is daf Yud. And we're starting from the Mishnah on bottom of Tes Amid Beis, where the Mishnah begins. We've been speaking from the beginning of our Masechta about the collection of the Machzis HaShekel. And we keep on saying that the purpose of the Machzis HaShekel were for purposes of purchasing the communal offerings, the Korbanos Tzibur, that were brought every day throughout the year in the Beis HaMikdash. And now our Mishnah goes into it in much greater detail. It says the Mishnah HaTruma. Truma means the Truma Salishka, which, remember, they were Torahim three times a year, Praise of Pesach, Praise of Atzeres, and Praise of Chag. They put funds from the Lishka into the three kupois. So what did they do with those funds? Mahoyu Oisimba, Loichimba Tamidim, number one. The two Tamidim that they brought every day, the Tamid Shoshach, Tamid Shobin Arboyim. Number two, Musafim, every single Shabbos, every Rosh Chodesh, every Yontif. V'niskeyem, like we always lay on Yontif, u'minchosim, v'niskeyem kim dubar, shloish asarna lapar. Meaning that whenever you brought a carbon oil or a carbon shlomim, whether it was a yochid or a tzibur, you always had to add the minchas esachim, which was a carbon mincha that you put on the mizbeach, which is kula kolil, totally consumed, as well as you had the libations, the pourings of the wine, on the corners of the mizbech. So, again, these were purchased from the tzibur's monies. Of course, if you were bringing your own private carbon, then you brought your own nisachim. But the carbon oilas tamid, which is an oila, so the Beis HaMikdash, how did the gizborim pay for those nisachim? Once again, from the trumas halishka. Hu oimer, the oimer that we just brought the first day of Chol HaMoed, the shtei halechem, which was brought on Shavuos, lechem aponim, which they had every single Shabbos, v'chol karbonos hatzibur, all karbonos hatzibur, anything and everything, all of that was purchased from the funds of the Trumas HaLishka. The question is, what does the karbonos hatzibur come to add that we haven't previously enumerated? So the Karbon HaEda says, this is referring to Ktoiris. If you see the Karbon HaEda, the right-hand margin, after it says Alocha Aleph Masnisin, go to the third line, V'chol Karbonos HaTzibur La'asuyei Ktoiris. It comes to include Ktoiris, and then other Mefarshim say that there are other things as well, such as we know, there was a repository of melach, of salt, on the Mizbeach that they used for all the Karbonos, V'chol Karban Minchoschal Melach Tiblach, but not only the Karbon Mincha, every Karbon you had to go and throw on melach, the melach that was also purchased from the Trumas HaLishka, and some say that the Eitzim that they used on a daily basis, the Shnei Gezirei Eitzim, those were purchased from the funds of the Trumas HaLishka, and so on and so forth. You also had, for instance, the Karbonos that were brought on Yom Kippur, the Sor Lashem, the par may have come from the funds of the Kohen Gadol. Anyway, any Karbonos Tzibur, all of that came from the Trumas HaLishka. Shoyimrei Svichen Bishvius. David's calling in, but he shouldn't be calling in on my number. He should be calling on that 929 number. Okay, nothing I can do about it. Let's go back. That's a call from David Bishvius. Okay, continuing on, Rabbeisai. Shoyimrei Svichen Bishvius, Neutlin Tzcharim Mitrumas HaLishka. Oh, now we're talking about Shemitah year. Shemitah year is, you know, you're not allowed to go and plant anything, and you cannot do any ketzira. You cannot go and cut anything. So that being the case, we have a big problem. There was no normal, for instance, for purposes of the Omer for Pesach, for purposes of the Shtei Alechem for Shavuos, the Kohanim couldn't just start running around the Eretz Yisrael to go and find Tvua, barley, or wheat for those two Karbonos respectively, because nobody planted anything and nobody harvested anything. However, the Svichen means aftergrowth or wild growth. What does that mean? It means that when you go and do the Ketzira every single year, very often some seeds will fall out from the various stalks of wheat or of barley, and those seeds will grow on their own, even though nobody in particular went and planted them. they grew on their own. That's, they call that the aftergrowth. And that being the case, every year, even if you didn't plant anything, there was always some growth from the previous year because of these Tzvichen. But the problem is, even Tzvichen are Hefker during Shemitah year, and anybody can go into my field, your field, anyone's field, and just pluck it out and take it for themselves. But the Beis HaMikdash needed barley for the Korban Omer, and they needed Shteilech, they needed wheat for the Shteilech. So they appointed Shomrim, and these Shomrim would go and stay around, and they would stand next to fields where there was Tzvichen growing, and then they were able to, as a result, somebody please mute yourself because there's some background noise here. Okay, so anyway, continuing on, so they needed Shomrim, people that would go and guard fields where Tzvichen were growing, and in a sense, anybody that came there to be Zochem and a Hefker, the Shomrim would say to them, Rabbeisai, sorry, you cannot go and take this barley or this wheat. We need it for purposes of the Beis HaMikdash. So those Shomrim needed to get paid. After all, they had to watch it for an extended period of time. So, notlin Tzchorim Truma Salishka. They go and get paid their wages from the Truma Salishka. This was only a concern by the Omer and by the Shtei Alechem. It was not a concern for the Lechem HaPonim, because Lechem HaPonim could be brought from Yoshan, could be brought from the old crop. So if they had a storage bin where they had old wheat from Shana HaShishis, so they would use that throughout the Shana HaShviyas, and there was no problem. The problem is, however, the Gabi Omen Shtei Lechem, those are the Matirim of the Chodosh, they themselves have to be brought from the new Tvuah. Oh, so you couldn't go and store it from the sixth year. It had to be brought Men HaChodosh from the seventh year. That's why the Mishnah says that you needed the Shomrim and you had to go and pay them.
Rabbi Yosef,
why were they allowed to stop people from being Zochem and Hefker? Because otherwise the Beis HaMikdash wouldn't, we Klal Yisrael have the mitzvah of bringing the Korban Omer on. Korban Omer on Pesach and Shtei Lechem on Shavuos. So, and it has to be brought min ha'aretz, cannot be brought mi'chutz la'aretz, and it's got to be brought from Chodesh and not from Yoshan. If we're not going to have Shomrim protect a particular field, then we won't be able to bring the Omer, we won't be able to bring the Shtei Lechem. That's an impossibility. So therefore, they appointed the Shomrim to tell people, sorry, this belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, you can't touch this, we need this for the two kabbalas. What happens if you have a person who is a askon, a wonderful person, and he does not want to take money? Baruch Hashem, I have enough funds, I don't need funds from the Beis HaMikdash. He could do it on a volunteer basis. Omer lo yisvicham said, no, we disagree. Afata, aren't you, Omer, don't you agree, shein boyin ele mishel tzibur, that the Omer and the Shtei Alechem themselves, those come from the Tzibor. Don't you agree that if somebody came to the Beis HaMikdash and said, Rabbeisai, here, you can go and take my barley, you can go and take my wheat, not during Shemitah year, any one of the 6 years other than Shemitah year. Someone offers, he wants to go and give a present, go and take this barley, go and take this wheat. No, the answer is, you cannot do that. The reason why you can't do that is because these are Kabbanis Tzibor, not Kabbanis Yochid. And I'm afraid that if a Yochid goes and sponsors it, he's not going to give it Yofa Yofa with all of his sincerity. He's going to go and tell people in Shul that day, Rabbeisai, you know the Omer and Shtei Lechem that they brought, that's really from my funds. I deserve to get the Medal of Honor for supplying the barley and the wheat. And so therefore, everybody agrees that the Gizborim have to go and pay for that. Since they will have to go and pay for it, says the Gemara, Avat Emeloi, just like they had to go and pay for the Shtei Alechem and the Omer themselves, they also had to pay for the Shomrim of the Omer and the Shtei Alechem. Okay, Zoki Moravaiter. First, the Gemara is quoting now from the Gemara Masechtas Tanis. In Masechtas Tanis, there's a Mishnah that says that there were 9 Mishpochois that had their own private Yontif because of a historical event. What was the historical event? As we'll see now in the Gemara. Well, before we start the Gemara, the historical event was in the times of Ezra, when they rebuilt the Beis Hamikdash, they needed Eitzim in the Lishkas Eitzim. Obviously, there were no Eitzim Lishkas Eitzim because this is a brand new binyan. So 9 mishpachas, mostly Kohanim families, but also a couple from Binyamin, came and they were menadev Eitzim on 9 separate dates. And because they did that, the Chachamim honored them and said, this is now your own private yontif. And for all years subsequent to that, these 9 mishpachas on that day, the yard site, if you will, of the date that they donated those Eitzim, year after year after year, they were not allowed to fast on that day. They were not allowed to conduct hespedim. They would go and make their own private suda. And that day, if they wanted to be menadev Eitzim once again, they could do so, and we would have to use their Eitzim as opposed to the Eitzim of the Beis HaMikdash. We'll see as we go through the Gemara what happened. Zok the Gemara. Ma roz man atzei kohanim ve'om lehimanos. How come the Mishnah Masechtas Tanis goes and enumerates 9 separate zmanim that the kohanim were menadev Eitzim? Not only the kohanim, but also the principally kohanim, but also on a couple of those occasions. In other words, among the 9 dates when people were menadev Eitzim, again, historically, the times of Ezra, so mostly kohanim, but there were a couple of dates that non-kohanim went and were menadev. And the b'shosha only Yisrael menagoyle, when Klal Yisrael came up with Ezra and Nehemiah, v'leimatzu Eitzim l'lishka, there was no Eitzim there. V'omdu elu v'nisnadvu Eitzim mishalatzman. Oh, so some of these families went and they chopped down trees, or they brought Eitzim along from Chutz Laretz, and they were menad of those Eitzim to the Marocha on their own. Umasum Tzibur, and they handed it over to the Tzibur. The Korvu Mehem Kabbalah Tzibur, and they used these Eitzim to go and put on the Marocha on the Mizbeach, and then they used those, of course, to make a fire and to consume the Aymarin by the Oilois, the Eivorim of the Oilois, etc., etc. Now, this was considered to be such a wonderful deed, such a benevolent act. The Hisnoim on Nevi'im Shebeneim. So, Nevi'im at that time made a Eitzim. The word Hisno, of course, means normally a Tanai, but here it means they legislated. Sha'afilu Lishka Malaya Eitzim. In years to come, on the day of the yard site, when they previously gave Eitzim the first time in the times of Ezra, even if the Lishkas Eitzim is full to the brim with Eitzim, for Omdu Eilim and Esnadvu Eitzim Mishal Atzman, and on that date, if that Mishpacha says, I want to celebrate and commemorate this historic day by bringing new Eitzim today, Shleye Korban Miskarev Ela Mishal Antchila, we are going to use their private Eitzim before we take the Eitzim from the storage in the Lishkas Eitzim. So this is what it says in Masechtas Tanis, and that's why these 9 days are very, very special. So now the question is, who is the Tana who said that? Rab Acha to Rabbi Yosi. Rab Acha says it's Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Yosi means Rabbi Yosi of our Mishnah. Why? Rabbi Yosi, just like Rabbi Yosi said in our Mishnah, Afa Roitzim is Nadav Shem Mechinam, that a person who's a Shoimer, he can voluntarily offer his services and say, I'm going to watch the Svichim for the Beis HaMikdash. Oh, so you see that a private individual can go and do that. Somebody should please mute themselves because I hear some background noises. So you see that you can go and be menadev. Here too, all of these 9... Gentlemen, are you also hearing an echo, or it's just me?
Yes.
Yes.
It's the whoever ends the number is in 5524.
Uh-huh.
Please mute.
Uh-huh. Okay, so everybody please mute. So getting back to our Gemara Nochamu. So says the Gemara, the our Mishnah said that someone can offer his own private services, and therefore here too, these 9 mishpachas can offer their own private Eitzim, and the Beis HaMikdash will accept it. Oh, so it's consistent with Rabbi Yosi of our Mishnah. Says the Gemara now, another Rabbi Yossi, really probably Rabbi Asi, who's an Amoira, not a Tana, said B'Shem Rabbi Ila, no, Diviakoilhi, that Mishnah in Mesechtas Tanis that enumerates the nine private festivals, private Yom Tovim of these nine families, this goes according to even the Chachamim of our Mishnah. Because although in our Mishnah we had a Machloikis Lagabe, the payment of the Shomrei HaSvichim, whether or not we can allow for volunteers or we have to pay them. Ma pligin, where is the machloikis begufa shel karban? The machloikis is lagabi the karban itself. That means lagabi the oimer and the shtei alechem itself. Avu machshiri karban. Here we're talking about the atzei maracha. These are etzim. This is not the karban itself. These are just machshirim. Kol amamoy, doesn't everybody agree? Shu mishtana, karban yochad, the karban tzibor. There we will allow a carbon yochid to be substituted on a volunteer basis for the carbon tzibur. So what the Gemara effectively is saying is, according to Reb Asi B'Shem Reb Ila, that the Machloikis and Armish is talking about the funding for purposes of bringing the Oimer itself and the Shtei Alechem itself. Without these Shomrim, there wouldn't be a carbon Oimer, there wouldn't be a carbon Shtei Alechem. Ooh. Then we have a machloikis in our Mishnah. Can these people donate their services, or do we have to go and pay them? Mashenkin, we're talking about the Eitzim. Eitzim, everybody agrees, since that's only machshiri carbon, it's not the carbon itself, it's just the machshirim of the carbon. That being the case, everybody would agree that you can allow for a volunteer to donate Eitzim, maybe not any volunteer, but at least these nine mishpachas to celebrate their holiday, we will allow them to go and donate new eitzim, even though there's plenty of eitzim in the lishka. So therefore, you have no raya that that mishnah is only according to Rabbi Yossi, according to even the rabban. So Gemara is going to go and bring now al chayr another raya. Tony, we learned that isha she'osasa ksoinis libna ksheira ubavad she'timtzarena letzibur. As we know, one of the big day kahuna is the ksoinis. I think in ksoinis in English, I think they call that the tunic, which is a beggar that goes basically from the neck down to the floor. And that ksoinis, says the Gemara, is typically all the big day kahuna were supplied, again, from the money of the Beis HaMikdash. What happens if you have a mother of a kohen who is a very good seamstress, a very good weaver? She would have the right to go and make her own ksoinis on behalf of her son, so her son should have a special ksoinis that mommy made for him. Very nice thing. So it says, yes, this is permissible, but she has to go and hand it over to the tzibur first. She can't just go and give it to her son and say, okay, Sonny, use this now for the avoid in the Beis HaMikdash. She has to give it to the Kahanim or Gizborim who are in charge in the Beis HaMikdash and say, here, I'm handing it over to you. It's no longer mine. Now it's yours. Of course, I make a request. Please go and give it to my son. But I now have no longer any financial interest. It doesn't belong to me. I give it to you. So now the question is this permissible? Says Yimor, Amr Bacha, Rabbi Yosi, yeah, this is consistent with Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Yosi, I'm afar roitz a misnad of Shem Mechinam. Oh, here too. The woman, the mother of this coin, she is being menadev bechinam. So that's permissible. Goes according to Rabbi Yosi of our Mishnah. Again, Rabbi Asi, B'Shem Rabbi Ila, no, Divya Koili. Ma pligin, in our Mishnah, we only had a machlik, b'kufishol karm, l'kabit the karban omer itself. And the Shtei Halechem itself, a Machshiri Karban. Here we're talking about, the previous discussion was about the Eitzim. This discussion is about the Big Day Kahuna. These are only Machshirim for the Karban. Kol Am HaMoedi, everybody agrees, Mishtana, Karban Yochel, the Karban Tzibur, that we will accept donations, volunteer services from Yechidim. It doesn't have to be brought from the Truma Solishka. Fine. So Gemara Masnisen, now our Lashon of the Gemara is Masnisen Pligi al Rabbi Yosi. However, as we'll see from the discussion, in fact, it's not Pligi, it's really Mesayile. In fact, if you want to take a quick look at the Karban Eida on the left-hand margin, in my Gemara, it's the second narrow line, where it says Hochi Garsinan, Karban Eida is on the left, six lines from the top, Hochi Garsinan Masnisen Mesayile Rabbi Yosi. Vachi Purusha Mihach Braisa, the Megillas Tanis, Muchach Kida Omer Rabbi Yosi B'Shem Rabbi Ila, the Divya Koili. So now we're not going to ask a kasha. When we say Rabbi Yossi, we don't mean Rabbi Yossi from Mishnah. We're talking about this Rabbi Yossi, the Rabbi Asi, b'shem Rabbi Ilam. So instead of Masisim Pligi, Rabbi Yossi, in fact, it's Messiah. We're going to bring a raya to that Rabbi Yossi, that Rabbi Asi, b'shem Rabbi Ilam. Remember, what did Rabbi Asi say b'shem Rabbi Ilam? That when it comes to Machshirei Karbon, Kuli Alma Moida, that you can go and take from the Yechidim. It doesn't have to be Dafka from the Tzibur. What's the riot? Because it says in the Mishnah, the Braisa, in Mesechtes Tanis, Oysen Ayomim, Noisnin, I'm sorry, Noihagen, Bishas Korban, Vashloi Bishas Korban. The Manhagim of those nine families that we spoke about before, that were Menadav Eitzim the first time in the times of Ezra, really, really nice individuals, very benevolent, very beneficent, because of the great act that they did at that time. They continued to have these holidays as special Yom Tovim for themselves, a private Yom Tov. Then Noihagim B'Shas Karbon. B'Shas Karbon means at the time that the Beis Hamikdash was standing when they were still bringing Karbanos. Shloim B'Shas Karbon, even today, if you could identify that Mishpacha today, they would still have the din of a Yom Tov on those 9 days. You're asking me, what dinam of Yom Tov? As we'll see in the Gemara in another few lines, that they are not allowed to fast on that day, they're not allowed to have espedim on that day, because it's a Yom Tov. For, in modern colloquial terms, they're not allowed to say tachnun on that day. Wow, that's a real benefit, especially if it's Monday and Thursday. So it's a ganze Yom Tov for these mishpachas. Even today, Rabbi Yossi Oimer, no, in the Hagen of Shas Karmel Levad. This was only a minute at the time that the Beis Hamikdash was still standing. Never since the Chorm Beis Hamikdash, unfortunately, these Yom Tovim now became but. So what is the Raya now? One thing we clearly see, it's not just Rabbi Yossi in that Mishnah, but even the Rabbanan agree that it is a Yom Tov for these nine Mishpachas. The only Machloikis is this forever and ever until Mashiach Tzai? Or is it only at the time that the Beis Hamikdash was standing? What do you mean that everybody agrees? Didn't you say at the top of the Amud, according to Reb Acha, Reb Yossi said that this business about the nine Yom Tovim, the private Yom Tovs of these families, this is only according to Reb Yossi. Reb Yossi says in our Mishnah, Afer Roitzim Misnadav Shem Achinam, but not according to the Rabbanan. It was Reb Asi B'Shem Reb Ila that said, Divri HaKoili, that everybody agrees to these nine Yom Tovim. Oh, we see that everybody agrees to the nine Yom Tovim because the Machloikis, the Rabban and Rabbi Yossi, is only whether this is an eternal Yom Tov forever and ever, or whether it stopped at the times of the Chorban Beis Hamikdash. But everybody agrees that it was a Yom Tov for them, is the Chasimin that we did accept private donations of the Eitzim, according to everyone. Why? Because Eitzim are only Machshirei Karbon and not the Karbon itself. So everybody agrees you can go and take a carbon yachid when you're talking about machshiri carbon. V'oid min hadon, I have another ayah. Desanya, Umar Blazer, Bey Reb Tzodik, on Onu Hayinum Ibnei Sanoah Ben Binyamin. Reb Blazer, Reb Tzodik says, we are from the Enikloch of Sanoah Ben Binyamin. And I'll tell you what happened. V'chal tishib of Liois B'Shabbos, V'dachinu Oysa L'matzoi Shabbos, V'yinu Mis'anen V'loi Mashlimen. What is this all about? If you look up Mesechtes Tanis, you'll see that one of the nine occasions when people were Menadav Eitzim was on the 10th day of Av. Which Mishpacha donated Eitzim on the 10th day of Av? The Bnei Sanoah Ben Minyamin, from that Mishpacha. Okay, no problem. So, on that day, the 10th of Av, they won't fast. They won't have Espedim. They'll make a Ganze Yom Tov. They'll bring a carbon. They'll be Menadav new Eitzim. So what's the big deal? Oh, Rabbi Yisai, as you know, sometimes Tisha B'Av is Nidche. When is Tisha B'Av Nidche? If Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, this happens fairly common during the years. And what do? We go and fast on the 10th day of Av. Yeah, that's us. But what about the Menadav Sanosh Ben Minyamin? Now, Reb Blazer Ben Tzodik is talking about post Beis Hamikdash times, and he's saying we have to be Eimik Lech of Sanur ben Minyamin, and V'chal Tisha B'av Liris B'Shabbos, when Tisha B'av fell out on Shabbos, and we would doich it to Motzei Shabbos, meaning to Sunday, V'yinu Mis'anin, we would start the Tanis, V'loi Mashlimin, but we would not finish the Tanis. Why not? Because of our private Yontif. Your private Yontif supersedes the Inyan of Tisha B'av against Klal Yisrael? And the answer is yes. Because everybody agrees, it's not just Rabbi Yossi, everybody agrees when it comes to Machshirei Karban, that you can donate from Yechidim, Eitzim L'Ma'arocha, even though it's from a Yochid, not from the Tzibur. Oh, is the Chvayta Nochmul Araya? That's why the Gemara said, Masisin, it's not Pligi, it's a Raya to Rabbi Yossi, meaning the Amoyer Reb Asi B'Shem Reb Ila, that everybody agrees when it comes to Machshirei Karban, we will accept from Yechidim, and that's why these nine Mishpachas, that's how great their private Yontif was, that it even superseded the Inyan of Tisha B'Av, which was a Nidcha. Okay, going back to our Mishnah, it says, Oy Mishdei Alechem Alechal Panim V'chol Kabonis HaTzibur, all of those are brought from the Trumas Alishka. Says Yimar Taman Taninen, we learned in the Mishnah, it's a Mishnah Mesechtes Menachos, Kol HaKabonis HaYochid VaTzibur Boim Min HaOretz Min Chutz LaOretz, all carbon Yochid, a private carbon, or even a carbon Tzibur, Boim Min HaOretz, you can go and bring from Eretz Israel, and you can bring from Chutz LaOretz. Okay, in particular, for instance, if you're bringing a carbon Mincha, anybody wants a Menad of a carbon Mincha, it doesn't have to be from Tvua growing in Eretz Israel. You can bring from Tvua that comes from Bavel or Modai. It could be Min HaChodesh and Min HaYoshen. It could be from last year's. It could be from this year's. Chutz Min HaOy Mishtei Alechem. Oh, these are two special Kabbalah. In Boin El Min HaChodesh, it's got to be brought from the new Tvua of this year. In fact, they are the first that are being brought from the Chodesh, and therefore they're being Matir now, both in outside the Beis HaMikdash and inside the Beis HaMikdash, Omer and Shtei Alechem. And they have to be Min Min HaOretz, they have to be brought from Eretz Yisrael. Says the Gemara, Rav Huna, B'Shem Rabbi Yirmiyah, to Rabbi Shmueli. This Mishnah that we just taught, this is consistent with the view of Rabbi Shmuel. Who's Rabbi Shmuel? To Rabbi Shmuel, Omer, Eino, Omer, Bom, Min HaSuria. You cannot go and bring Omer even from Syria. What is Syria? Syria is a province or an area very, very close to Eretz Yisrael that Dovid HaMelech was koivesh on his own. It was not originally part of the Gevulois Eretz Yisrael, but he decided for whatever purpose, for security, for expanding the borders of Eretz Yisrael to be koivesh Syria. And there's a lengthy discussion in a few places in Shas. This was called Kibush Yochid, because this was under Dovid HaMelech was the one that did it on his own, and it's not considered to be Kibush Rabbim. Now, it's not just because Dovid HaMelech did it on his own, but also because to be a bona fide Kibush Rabbim, you have to go through a number of special procedures, like asking the Sanhedrin, the Urim V'Tumim, and other things of that nature. Anyway, this is called the Kibush Yochid, and there's a machlokes with the Kibush Yochid. Hav shmei Kibush, lav shmei Kibush. The nafkimina would be whether or not this is a bona fide part of Eretz Yisrael for purposes of giving trumois and maseris and other similar halachas. Good. So now, Rabbi Shmuel said, even though Syria is like quasi Eretz Yisrael or semi Eretz Yisrael, nevertheless, you don't bring the oimah from Syria, you got to bring it from Eretz Yisrael proper. No, if you can't bring it from Syria, alachas kam bakama, you can't go and bring it from Bovel and from Modai and from Paras. You can only bring it from Eretz Yisrael. Oh, so this is consistent with the Mishnah which we just read from Mesechtes Menachos, that by Oimer ein bo'in ela min ha'aretz. That's Rabbi Shmuel that says you can't bring it from Syria. Since we brought that, the Gemara is going to bring now two or three other Mishnayos in, where the Gemara is going to say, yeah, it's Rabbi Shmuel. We're Taman Taninan. Another Mishnah. Now this Mishnah is brought in Mesechtes Kalim. It says with the Eser Kedusha saying there's 10 different levels of Kedusha in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael itself is Mikudosh Mikol HaRatzos. It has a level of Kedusha greater than all of the lands outside of Eretz Yisrael. Umay Kedushasa, in which respect? Shemeviyin Mimenahu Oymer Babikurim Ushtei Alechem. Mash'ein Meviyin Kei Mikol HaRatzos. Very, very special Eretz Yisrael. You bring the Korban Oymer, you bring the Bikurim, and the Shtei Lechem, those all have to be brought davka from Eretz Yisrael and not from Chutz Laretz. Now, we only mentioned Oymer Shtei Lechem in our Mishnah. We didn't mention Bikurim because Oymer and Shtei Lechem is Karbonis, are Karbonis Tzibur. Bikurim is a Karbon Yachid. It's not really a Karbon per se, but it's something that is brought by individual farmers that Baruch Hashem were zoche to new crop, and they bring for the Shivas Aminim, they have to bring the first fruits to Yerushalayim. But only people who live in Eretz Yisrael, a person who lives in Chutz Laretz, doesn't have to bring Bikurim. Ah, again, says the Gemara, says Rab Chiya, Rab Huna, B'Shem, Rab Yirmiya, to Rabbi Shmuel, does it Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shmuel, Oimer, Eino, Oimer, Bamin, Asuriya. And that's why that Mishnah said in Mesechtes Kelim, Eretz Yisrael has a Kedusha above all other lands, that you bring the Oimer from Eretz Yisrael, and not from Mikol HaRatzos. Zokti Moravaita, Tamon Tanina, and I have yet another Raya about this Rabbi Shmuel, and here we have a Mishnah itself that mentions Rabbi Shmuel. Where is this Mishnah? He brings it from Mesechta Shvias, Perek Aleph, which they got in the Mishnah Shvias, Tanina. Rabbi Shmuel Oimer, Mach Chorish Rishus, Af Kotzir Rishus. It says in the Pasuk, Sheshish Yom Tavoid, and then it says, V'yom Yishvi Tishbois, B'chorish U'v'kotzir Tishbois. And the obvious question is, why does the Pasuk go and say, B'chorish, in yone plowing, uvekotzir, and in yone harvesting, tishbois, you have to be shoyves. And there's a machloikis what this is referring to. The Pashup Shad is referring to Shabbos. That on Shabbos, you're not going to do harisha and ketzir. So fregech achar boisai, the 39 malachas that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos, not just harisha and ketzir, why does the Torah enumerate these two? Why didn't the Torah say, and don't do shchita, and don't do ksiva, and don't do ma'amer, and dosh, vusep is kotzer, and the chorish v'kotzer, tishbois? So Bishmal says, it comes and tells us a special drasha. Just like every charish is rishus, meaning we don't find ever that there is a mitzvah to go and do a plowing. We find averois involving plowing, like plowing on Shabbos, or plowing with two separate animals. Yeah, we sachresh b'shar v'chamor yachtav. But we don't find a mitzvah to do harisha. Therefore, it says the Torah, all harishos are rishus, and they're not doche Shabbos. I learned from that, b'chorish uv'kotzer tishbois, that the only ketzira that you have to be shoveis from is a ketzir rishus. Yotzek tzira oimishi mitzvah. Oh, by tzira, in fact, there are cases of a mitzvah. Which one of that? That's ktzira oimer. That's the ktzira oimer that we do on Matzah Yontif Rishon of Pesach, Leil, the beginning of the first day of Chol HaMoed. If that night falls out on Shabbos Kodesh, meaning that the first day of Pesach was on Friday, not like today, this year, that was Erev Pesach, was on Shabbos. Here we're talking about that the first day of Pesach was on Friday. So now, I'm sorry, I say Friday. First day of Pesach, yeah, it was on Friday, exactly. So now, Matzah Yontif is now Friday night. It's now Shabbos. I have to bring the Korban Oymah the next morning, the first day of Chol HaMoed. So, just like you're allowed to go and bring the Korban the next morning, you're allowed to go and do the Ktsira on Friday night. How can you do Shabbos? The Chorish of a Kotzer Tishbois, just like all Chorishes are Rishus, the only din of Shavis is a Ktsir Rishus, of a Ktsir Oima, which is a mitzvah, that is Doiche Shabbos. Says the Gemara, that Rabbi Shmuel, that we just quoted in that Mishnah, Kedaite is going Lishitasai. Rabbi Shmuel saw the Omar, and Oimer Bom in Assyria. He holds you cannot go and bring Oimer from Syria. And therefore, Kedaita, that's Lishitasa di Omar, Yotzek Tzira Oimer Shu Mitzvah. That Tzira Oimer is special, it's a mitzvah. L'choira, what does one thing have to do with the other? The fact that we say that you cannot bring Oimer from Chutz Laretz, and he's telling me, Yotzek Tzira Oimer, that's the same din, that Tzira Oimer is a mitzvah, that's Doiche Shabbos. What does one thing have to do with the other? I guess one could speculate that if you were allowed to go and bring it from Syria, then you wouldn't have to do it dafka on Matzah Yontif, because presumably from Syria to Yerushalayim might be too long until the Oimer finally got there. And if you were going and cutting it on Friday night, and not on Friday night, on Matzah Shabbos, I'm sorry, on Friday night on Shabbos, you're going to try to bring it all the way from Syria, you're not going to get there in time. And so maybe that's what he was saying. That's why you got to do an Eretz Yisrael, because from Syria to Yerushalayim, it's just going to take, I know, 12 hours, 24 hours, I don't know. It depends on how far it is. But Korban Eidah doesn't go into that. Korban Eidah says much, much simpler answer. That just like we see that Ktziro Oimer is Doiche Shabbos, Ktziro Oimer is also Doiche Shvius, the mitzvah of Shemitah. Even though in Shemitah year, you're not supposed to go and do any Harish, you're not supposed to do any Ktzira, everything is Hefker. Oh, just like the din of the Ktzira Oim is Doicha Shabbos, it's also Doicha Shemitah. That's only consistent with if you hold that you have to bring the Oimer from Eretz Yisrael. If you hold that you can go and bring the Oimer from Chutz Laretz, so then you don't have to be Doicha Shemitah at all. Just go and do your Ktzir and Chutz Laretz, where Shemitah doesn't apply. The fact that we say that it's Doicha Shabbos and Doicha Shemitah is the chasimen that you cannot bring the Oimer from Chutz Laretz, from Syria, and therefore Rabbi Shmuel is Lishi Tosei. Now, why did we bring these series of rayas all dealing with Rabbi Shmuel? Because of our Mishnah. Man Tana, who's the Tana of our Mishnah that says, Shoimrei Svichen Beshviyas, Neutlin Tzchar Mitrum Esalishka, Zetimar Rabbi Shmueli. It's got to be Rabbi Shmuel. Why does it got to be Rabbi Shmuel? Because Rabbi Shmuel is the one that says that you cannot go and bring it from Syria. Since you can't bring it from Syria, you have to bring it from Eretz Yisrael. How are you going to find Oimer in Eretz Yisrael? After all, everything is Hefker. Where are you going to get it from? Ah, you have Shoimrei Svichen. They're going to watch the fields to make sure that you'll be able to go and get barley from Eretz Yisrael, because you cannot take it from Syria. It's the Harai, then our Mishnah also goes according to Rabbi Shmuel. Amr Yoisa, no, Divi Akoili. It could go according to everyone. Why? What does the Gemara mean to say? The Gemara means to say is, maybe we do not paskin like Rabbi Shmuel, and our Mishnah is not going like Rabbi Shmuel, and you can go and bring the Oimer from Syria. The problem was that year, Shemitah year, they sent out shluchim to Syria, and they found that Syria, there was a shortage of barley. Why was there a shortage of barley? Maybe because it was imported to Eretz Yisrael for all the people that needed to eat barley, because there was not enough grain that grew or that was stored up in Eretz Yisrael because it was Shemitah year, so there was nothing in Syria. So maybe we hold you could bring from Syria, and it's talking about a case like Matzah from Syria, they didn't find any in Syria. So then the Shluchim or the Gizbarim, the Kahanim said, what are we going to do? Oh, we identified somewhere there was an isolated farm between Yerushalayim and Tel Aviv, where Baruch Hashem, you had Svichim growing. Shluchim, Shoimrim, you stand there for the next 2 weeks, 4 weeks, 6 weeks, whatever, to make sure that nobody is Ochim and Afker, so we should be able to have Oimer for the Beis Hamikdash. Frank Dimar, Hahein Oimer Mao Sheyizra Betchila. What happens, Taka? They sent around Shluchim, and there are no Svichim. There is no aftergrowth growing anywhere. Would we be allowed to go and plant new seeds in Shemitah year? Planted Shemitah year, Chas v'Shalom, you're not allowed to do any work in the fields. Yeah, but for the Dvar Mitzvah, being able to bring the Korban HaOmer, maybe you're allowed to go and plant in Shemitah year itself to be able to go and provide barley for the Korban HaOmer. Says the Gemara, "Bchi bar Ada, boy kumi Ramana, leinimtze ki koymitz al shirayim shein necholim." The choyer, that doesn't work. Why doesn't it work? Because we know that there's a din that a koymitz is a matir. Every time you bring a carbon mincha, you put a kmitza on the mizbeach. It's matir the shirayim. What happens if you don't have shirayim? The shirayim got lost, or the shirayim got tamei. The shirayim became posel biyotze. Then the koimitz doesn't work because the koimitz has to be matir something. What's going to happen over here is if you're going to go and plant tvur, and you're going to plant a barley seeds, and now you're going to take that barley and you're going to use it in Yerushalayim for purposes of bringing the carbon. So now, what is that carbon oimer going to be matir? It's going to be matir what you just planted. You're not going to eat from what you planted. That's awesome. Even if you assume that you can go and plant barley seeds for the Korban Omer, but whatever else grows from those barley seeds, you won't be able to consume, you won't be able to eat, because they were planted be'isur shmita. The Omer is an exception to the rule, but the Shiraimi won't be able to eat. So therefore, the Korban Omer will not be effective to go and be matir anything, so you won't be able to bring the Korban Omer. It's nimtze, isn't like a koimitz al Shiraim she'en necholim.
It's matir chadash. Even if it's not matir the shalayim, it's matir the
chadash. Which chadash are we talking about? Nothing has grown this year. There's nothing that grew in Eretz Yisrael. They looked all over from right to left and up to down, north to south.
Currently, it's matir the chadash, the chitin. The chitin that grew in Shmias is matir from the Korban HaOmer barley brought on the first day of Kolomoyed in the Mikdash.
You're saying is absolutely correct. Apparently it's talking about a situation that there was nothing grew throughout Eretz Yisrael, neither wheat, nor barley, nor spelt, nor rye, nor oats, zero. That's why they sent that shluchim, they couldn't find anything. They want to know, can we go and plant barley just for this special occasion to bring the Korban HaOmer? And he says, well, it's not going to be matter anything, because everything has already either been consumed, all the svichim were eaten, you can't eat chodosh, so apparently nothing grew. The point is, the only thing that they thought that would be the possible nitarim were those barley seeds that were grown, that were not used for the Korban Minchas Omer itself. Says Yomar, is nothing to be matir, so then a matir without a nitar is an ineffective, worthless Korban. So says Yomar, so what have you accomplished? Omalesi said, no, like all rules, there's an exception to the rule. And if you ever find a rule that doesn't have an exception, that's the exception to the rule that all rules have exceptions. So says the Imar, Omalei nase kechamisha dvarim sheim boim betumah v'necholim betumah. We have back in Masechtas Pesachim that the Korban Pesach is unique, that you can bring it betumah, and then you can eat it betumah. Gans Klal Yisrael happen to be Tumeim, they can all bring the Korban, and Tumah Hutra Betzibur, Tchuyi Betzibur, everybody's even allowed to eat from the Korban, because Ishlufi Ochloi, the major purpose of bringing the Korban Pesach, was to be able to eat it. But the Mishnah Pesachus Pesachim says, there are five other occasions that you can bring the Korban Tumah, but you cannot eat from it. What are those five? So there's a list there in the Mishnah. One of them is the Korban Omer, another one is the Shtei HaLechem, the third one is Lechem Aponim, the fourth one is the two Shalmei Tzibur that you bring on Shavuos, and finally the Korban Musaf Shel Rosh Chodesh. All five of those can be brought betumah. Klal Yisrael are all tameim, or the Kahanim are tameim. You can bring those korbanos, but you can't eat them. Ein nechal betumah. And since eating a korban is usually not ma'akev, so bring the korban if you cannot eat from the korban. So you see that there are these five occasions that you can bring a carbon, bring your matir, even though there's no nitar, because we won't be able to eat from any of the shiraim, since everything is tame in the chalim betuma. So the same thing applies over here. Even if there is no other chodesh, it could be matir, it's fine, because you can have a matir without a nitar. Okay, put two dots over here, and now the Gemara wants to know the mechanics. How do we go and pay the shomrim from the monies in the Truma Salishka? After all, these monies are imbued with Kedusha. These are Hegdish monies. Are we going to give Hegdish monies to these Umnin or to these Shluchim? Then it's going to turn out that they're going to be moiled the Hegdish money. What do we do? Says the Imara, Ketzer Weiser, Noitel Mois Min HaShulchani. We're going to go and take a short-term loan from our local Shulchani, our local anchor banker. We're going to go and take a loan. V'noisin, and we're going to, give it to the koitzim of the shomrim. Our Mishnah only spoke about the shomrim. This price adds the koitzim of the omer as well. We're going to go and pay for their services in advance, and we're going to pay them from the loan from the shulchani. Actually, yikarav omer. Now we're finally ready with the final finished product of the omer to be brought in the base of Mikdash. What is that omer? That's from the barley that had been watched, and now it was now cut for purposes of the Korban HaOmer. At the moment, it's still just regular, ordinary barley. How are we going to be mekadesh that barley? Or maybe moiz betrumas alishka. Now we're going to go and take monies from the trumas alishka that have the value of that barley, and we're going to be mechal in olav. We're going to be mechal the money onto the new oimer barley. So now the oimer barley we have will be impressed with the kedusha from the money, and now those money from the trumas alishka are going to be chulin money. We'll take those monies now, and we're going to return and pay off the loan that we took from the Shulchani a day ago or hours ago or whenever. Frank Dimara, the Togus came. Does that really work? What's the problem? The problem is, as we learned in Mesechus Menachos, for purposes of bringing your carbon oimer, you had to start off with a much larger quantity. I don't remember exactly what it says in the Mishnah, a 3 saw, 5 saw, 10 saw, whatever it was, and then you cut that, and then you have to grind it, etc. Most of the barley that you brought will not be used. Only a small percentage is going to be used to bring the carbon oimer. The pasuk says, "Vo'oimer asira so'efihi." It's a tenth of an eifah, so most of the rest of the so'ah that you brought is not going to be used. Okay, now the Gemara is assuming that the payment that was made was based on the amount of the so'ah that were cut or that were watched by these shomrim. So let's take an example. Let's assume that the total amount that we paid them was $100. Let's assume that they watched Yichvais 10 so'ah, which would mean $10 per so'ah. From that, we only used at the end, l'moshel, 1 saw. What I'm saying is imprecise in terms of the actuality. I'm just trying to give you an example. So therefore, it's only 1 saw. So now, the $100 that we paid them, which was $10 per saw, now you're saying that we're going to be mechalel, the truma salishka money, onto not the 10 saw, only that 1 saw that we're going to use now for the karma oimer. That doesn't have a value of $100. That only has a value of $10. So that doesn't work. The mechanics don't work. You paid them $100 for 10 saw, $10 per saw, and guess what? There's only 1 saw being used for the carbon oimer. L'chayr, I can only be mechal now $10 on that 1 saw. But I'm paying them $100. So the numbers don't jive. Says Yimur Akab Shem Rabba, Komashi Yitan, Hein Domov Mishoha Rishoina. He says, no, we're not going to make that cheshbon. When we pay the workers, we're going to go and tell them in advance, we're not paying you for the 10 saw that you were shomer, we're paying you for the ultimate product for the carbon oimer. We're paying you $100 for that. So this is a very expensive saw. It's $100 for 1 saw. The other 9, in a sense, that you watched or that you cut, were done gratis. We're not paying you for that. We're paying you for the ultimate product of that 1 saw, and we're willing to give you top dollar, $100. Oh, so then it's fine. Now we're just going to machal now the $100 of the Truma Salishka onto that 1 saw, and now these monies are now free from any further Kedusha, and we'll pay off the Shulchani. And now the Gemara is going to repeat the same mechanics once again. Tona af bepatochi avonim kein. Patochi avonim, those people that would go and cut the stones of the Beis HaMikdash to size, to be able to go and put them as part of the construction of the Beis HaMikdash. So you had these stone cutters. We wanted to pay them as well from the monies of the Trumas Alishka, or from the monies of the Bedek Habayis. So how are we going to go and pay them? Ketzer Uwaisa. No, if it was Mishulchani, again, we go and take a loan from the banker. The Choytzvin are people that work in the quarry. Satosan are the people that are cutting up the stones. If I'm not mistaken, on Yom Kippur in the Piyutim, we talked about the Mesates, the person that cuts up the stones. Actually, Tenosan al Gabi Hadimus, we paid them with this loan, and we allow them to cut the stones, and now they bring the stones, and they're ready to put it on the Dimus. Dimus means on the existing layer of bricks that are already there, and they're now going to put them on top of that earlier layer, and add now a new layer of bricks and stones. Once they put them into the wall, and presumably add cement or whatever, maybe Mois Betrumas Alishka, now we want that these stones of the Beis HaMikdash should be imbued with Kedusha, so we're going to go and take the Kedusha of the Trumas Alishka, and we're going to impress that Kedusha on the stones, and now the monies of the Trumas Alishka have now become Mechulal, have now become like regular chulin money. And then we're going to take that money and we're going to pay you off the shulchani for the loan that he had extended a short while ago. Frank Gemara again, the Tavis King, can you really do that? After all the work that he did in the stone quarry and the cutting of the stones, only a small percentage of the final product is used in the building. All the rest of the stones are going to be just extra stones which are not going to be used. So, Bazoi, you're paying them for the entire malacha, and you're only being machal on the final product. And again, the Gemara says the same teretz as before. Rabbi Yosi, Bei Rabun, B'shem Shmuel, Komashi Yitin, Heinein, Demel, Misho Rishoina. We don't go and pay them for their big, big excavation in the quarries or the cutting of the stones. We pay them for the final product. And we say, the final product involves 10 stones per layer twice in the wall. We're paying you for these 10 stones. We're not paying you for the 50 stones or 20 stones that you're cutting. We're only paying you for the final product. So that was the contract from the beginning. And therefore, this works when we pay off the shulchan. Zog the Mishnah. We're continuing to talk about what did you use the funds of the Trumas Alishka. Says the Mishnah. Para is referring to the Para Duma. The Tzor HaMishtaleach, which was not a real carbon per se, but nevertheless, it's a Tzor HaBadatzibur on Yom Kippur. The Loshen Shel Zahiris. What exactly Loshen Shel Zahiris? That's a Loshen Shel Zahiris that was used in the burning of the Paraduma. We're going to talk about this further, Miat Hashem, in another few lines as we enter into the Gemara. Ul Tzibay Metrum Salishka. Ul Tzibay that comes in Trum Salishka. Now, Kevesh Para, the Kevesh Tzor HaMishtaleach, now, Kevish's Para is referring to that every time they made a new Para Duma, they built a special ramp from the Beis HaMikdash to Har HaZeisim, Har HaMishcha, because on Har HaZeisim, that's where they shechted the Para Duma. As you know, the Para Duma, they were very, very careful that there shouldn't be any perception, possibility, even one iota of one out of a million, that Chas HaShalom, anything or anybody should be Tomei. So they were afraid that when they transport the Para Duma to Har HaMishcha, maybe it's going to go over some hidden kever, kever HaTahoim. Therefore, they built a special ramp where that ramp between the, I call it a ramp, it's really more like a bridge, that from the bridge to down below, it was more than one tefach. And therefore, you didn't have a problem of tumah being by kas v'oila. The tumah was able to contain itself within that airspace, and you didn't have a problem with the Para Aduma and the people. The Para Aduma cannot become tumah if it walks over a mess, because an animal cannot become tumah when it's alive. However, the people that are taking that Para Aduma, if they're walking over a mess, in Chas HaShalom, they become tumah. So they have this special ramp, special bridge that they walked over, so nobody would become tumah. The Kevesh Tzor HaMishtaleach. This is a special.
Because it was more than a tefach from the ground, it's called Tzeis Lifnei HaTumah.
Exactly. It's similar to the concept that you have today, unfortunately, when they are transporting Mesim from Chutz Lartz to Eretz Yisrael on El Al flights, for instance. The Rabbanut made such a very special box within a box, and the outer box, which they put the oroin into this outer box, and they have the space of at least a tefach on all sides, and as a result, any tumah inside the oroin remains in the box and doesn't come out, and that's why kahanim are allowed to go and travel on those flights. So the same thing over here is, by having that airspace in between the tumah satoim, the possibility of tumah satoim, and the ramp, or this bridge, so that took away any of these possibilities of tumah. Same thing by Tzor HaMishtaleach. They also had a bridge when they took the Tzor HaMishtaleach la'azazel. But here the reason had nothing to do with Tumah, but there were Bavliim that would come up to the Beis HaMikdash, and they wanted atonement as soon as possible. So they used to go and pull the hair, either the hair of the Tzor HaMishtaleach or the person who is running with the animal, the Ish Iti, that person who was taking the Tzor HaZazel, and they would pull on his ear and say, Tol Vitzei, Schnell, get this Tzor HaMishtaleach out of here. We want our kapora, our atonement, as soon as possible. So to avoid getting even close to the Ish Iti and the Tzor HaZazel, they built this special ramp, and they didn't allow any other traffic or anybody else on this ramp, on this bridge, so they didn't have to worry about that concern. So who paid for the construction of that ramp or that bridge? Again, it didn't come from the Trumas Elisha, it came from the Shiori Elisha, like we'll see in a moment. The Loshen Shel Ben Karnav. The Loshen Ben Karnav is, as you all know, that the Sor Lazozel had such a special, we would call like a red ribbon, a Shni Tolas. Our Mishnah refers to the Loshen Shel Zahoyres, not to be confused with the earlier Loshen Shel Zahoyres, which we had a line ago, which was a something that was placed into the Paraduma fire. Here we're talking about Loshen Shel Zahoyres that was between the Karnayim, and as you got to the cliff, they would remove it, leave one on the Karnayim, and they split it in two, and one they put around a boulder, around a rock, and then as the Sor Lazozel went over, miraculously, the red ribbon turned white, Keshelig Yalbino, and they knew that they had an atonement from their sins. So that Loshen Shel, who paid for that Loshen? Again, Shiori Elishka. Amas Amayim, we had the Amas Amayim in the Azara that cleared out the blood, etc. And the Chayim Seir of the Beis HaMikdash, Umigdal Yisrael, like the Migdal David, the towers in Yerushalayim. The Chol Tzarchi and all communal needs, they didn't come from the Trumas Elishka, they came from the Shiori Elishka. We had the concept of Shiori Elishka already yesterday, and then before, that after they took the Truma each time, the coins that were left behind are called the Shiori Elishka, so those were not used for the Kabbalists, they were used ready for secondary things like we just mentioned. Abishol Oimer, Kevish Pora Kahanim Gedoilim Oisim Mishal Atzman. The Kevish for the Pora, that wasn't taken for Shiori Elishka, that the Kahanim Gedoilim paid on their own from their own funds, and we're going to learn more about that tomorrow in Miyat Hashem on the Amid Aleph. Moisim Shiori Elishka Mayo Oisim Behen. When you had at the end of the year, you had extra funds in the Shiori Elishka which were left over, what did they do with those? Rabbi Shmuel said that the Beis Migdash invested in a small business so that they would be able to go and make some profits for the Beis Migdash. What were the profits? The Moshe Shiori and Lishka of every year, they would go and take those funds, they would buy with them wine and shemen and solace which were needed for the Beis Migdash, and when people would come and they would buy it, they would go and sell it at a profit, and the extra profit was for the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Kiva Oimer, Ein Mistaka B'Shel Hegesh. No. Don't stop playing around with business and with investments. Forget about it. Af Loi Mishal Aniyim. If you happen to be the trustees for a fund for the poor, all to no investment. The reason is, because as we know, in business, prices can go up and prices can go down. So it could be that you're going to go and invest it in the best stock possible, and guess what happened? Then the stock is going to sink and you're going to lose all your money. So here too, you invest in the Yenish Manavis Losses. You paid whatever the going rate was, and then subsequently, they're going to go down in value, and people won't buy from the Gizba, they're going to buy from elsewhere, and these monies will then have been wasted. What do they do with extra truma monies? In other words, the truma monies inside the boxes. We're not talking about monies inside the lishka, but money inside the boxes. What did they do? Rikuizov tzipula base kodesh kadoshim. They would go and use that for plating the walls of the kodesh kadoshim, gold plating. Rabbi Shmuel Oimer, moiser hapeiros. What did they do with moiser hapeiros? We're going to see mention what means moiser hapeiros tomorrow. But pashut means moiser hapeiros means Rabbi Shmuel Lishitosoi, that you invested the extra funds in the Shiori Lishka in these Yeno Shmanim Uslosois, and those years, in fact, where you made payrois, you made profits. What did you do with those profits? You used those for Kaitza Mizbeach, for those days when there weren't too many Kabbonis, you brought the Oilois of Kaitza Mizbeach, like we've learned many times. Moise Truma, what do they do with that? They use the Klisharis to go and either fix or to buy or manufacture brand new klisharis of the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Kiva Oimer, Moise Truma, Lekayitza Mizbeach. Not the Moise Peiros. Remember, Rabbi Kiva Lishitosa that holds that you're not allowed to go and invest the funds and make profits for the Beis HaMikdash. So what did you use for the Kayitza Mizbeach? Moise Truma. Extra funds in the Truma boxes, since they're not being used for Kabbanis Choyva, they'll be used for Kabbanis Nadova for the Beis HaMikdash Kayitza Mizbeach. Moise Nesachim. What exactly is Moise Nesachim? We'll see. Barry, you have a question?
What's the difference between Shiori Elishka and Moser Truma? We're using a different term now. What's the difference?
Remember, they took the Truma Elishka three times a year. Let's talk about Price of Pesach. Price of Pesach, they went and filled up the three kupais with with machtes shekels. But obviously there was still a lot of coins left behind. Those are called shiarei halishka, and so that they should not be used the next time prois or atzeres, they put a katavla, they put such a leather tablecloth on top of it, so that they would only use the new matbeis. So those matbeis underneath the tablecloth, these are called the shiarei halishka. The moisra truma means that taka Rosh Chodesh Nissan, we filled up the three kupais. They use the three kupais until prois shavuos, which is basically 6-7 weeks or so. So after that, there were lots of coins left in the three kupais. That's the moiser hatruma. What did they use? The moiser, what was left over in the boxes that were initially nitram at the time of the trumas halishka. What did they use those funds for? The kaitz mizbech. Moiser nesachah, will have mitzvah machloikis tomorrow exactly what moiser nesachah means. That they use the klisharis to either buy or manufacture or fix klisharis. Reb Chanan Yiskana Kehanim Oimer, moiser nesachah kaitz mizbech. Moiser truma liklisharis. Both of them agreed, meaning both Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Chanan Yiskana Kehanim agreed that they didn't have Moiser Peiros because they disagreed with Rabbi Shmuel. They didn't allow for capital investment in the Yenoi Shemanim Uslosais to go and make a business. So there were no Peiros. So therefore there's nothing to talk about. These are non-existent Peiros because they didn't invest in any type of business. Zokimar. Kevish Par is where we started off, and then we continue on about the Lishoinos. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachman B'Shem Rabbi Yonasan Gimel Lishoinos saying, there are three Lishoinos. Lishoinos over here means the Loshon Shel Zohoiris that we spoke about. Now, where did we have three of them? We have one by the Sora Mishtaleach, that we have that Tulas Shoni that we attached to the horns. Then we had the Mitzoyra. The Mitzoyra, after the Kohen pronounced him clean from his tzaras, he had to go and bring two oifalach, not in the Beis HaMikdash, but outside. And he had one which was the Tzipor HaChaya, and one the Tzipor HaShchuta. And you took the Tzipor HaChaya together with Ezer Mishni Tzaras, and you dipped it in the dam of the Tzipor HaShchuta, and then you spritzed it on the Mitzoyra. So therefore it says in the Torah, use the Shni Tzaras for that Mitzoyra. It says also by the Paraduma that when you, after you burn the Paraduma and you had the fire, you put into that fire Ezoiv and Shni Tzaras into Eitz Erez, Ezoiv and Shni Tzaras into the fire. So that Shni Tzaras is therefore the three Lashonis that we're talking about. And what the Gemara tells us now, they were not identical in weight. But rather, the one of the Sora Mishtalech was the weight of a seller, meaning relatively insignificant weight, because all you needed to do is half on the karnayim, on the horns, and half you tied to the stone. So it wasn't a very weighty type of thing. Shel metzoira, that was b'shekel, even less. Shekel is a half of a sela, what we would call the machtes shekel. That's what they put, they dipped it into the blood of the tzipor hashchuta for purposes of spritzing. So that was only the weight of a shekel. Shel para, the paraduma had to be b'shtei seloi. Now, what's the reason why that had to be much heavier, relatively speaking? When we say seloim, of course, we don't mean rocks over here. Seloim means two matbeis, called the sela. Why did it have to be so heavy? Because the pasuk says the hishlech el toich sreifa sapara. So we don't want it, as you know, since this was made of tzemer, of wool, as soon as it would touch the fire, it would singe and it would get burned, you know, in 1 second. But we don't want it to go and burn in 1 second. We want it to go toich sreifa sapara down below. So it had to have a weight to it. So once it had so much weight, it only got burned after it got halfway down, or three quarters down into the fire. It didn't get burned as soon as it just touched the fire from on top. Reb Chunya de Bras Chavrin, Reb Chunya from the place called Bras Chavrin, Rabbi Bo Barzav de Bishem Reb Shimon ben Chalafta, Shel Par B'Shtei Salom Mechza. It wasn't two Salom, it was two and a half Salom. Ooh. The Ista Mavkin Lishna Be'Asar Zuz. Others said, like Ika de Amri, it wasn't two Salom and a half, but it was 10 Zuz. Now, if you figure out 10 zuz, zuz is the same thing as a dinar. One seller has 4 zuz, 4 dinrim. 2 seloim have 8. 2.5 seloim have 10 zuz. So really, the second ikadiyamri is exactly the same in terms of the weight. This is 2.5, which is equal 10 zuz. It's like saying a dollar or 4 quarters or 10 dimes. Of course, there are different weights, I realize, between 4 quarters and 10 dimes. But here we're talking about that the weight is the same. So why did the Gemara tell us that there's this Ikka di Amri? It comes to tell us, say the Mefarshim, that Chayiv Odom Loimar Beloshin Rabbi. Whenever you're repeating a Dvar Halacha that you heard from your Rebbe, repeat it as precisely as possible. Don't make your own equations. Repeat what the Rebbe said. Okay, says the Gemara Vayta. We're using the funds for the Tumas Alishka. In the previous Mishnah we had that they used them to go and pay for the Shomrei Hasfichin. Now the Gemara is going to tell us we use it also for other purposes, for salaries. Rabbi Yehuda b'Shem Rabbi Shmuel, Talmidei Chacham, Hamalamdim Eskehanim, Hilcha Shchita, Hilcha Eskabola, Hilcha Zrika, Nogdan Tzcharim Tumas Alishka. As we know, the Chacham had to go through 5 years of preparation before they were able to go and start doing the Avoida. So that being the case, they had to go to Koyin school. So the Talmidei Chacham, who were the Rebbeim, the teachers in those schools, they got paid for teaching Hilcha Shchita and Kabbalah and Zrika, etc. Shchita, of course, is Ksheira Bizar, but it's also, of course, kosher b'kahanim. And it appears from other Gemaras that the Kahanim were pretty protective of their positions, and therefore, although Shchita was Ksheira Bizar, it was typically done by the Kahanim, you know, they did that Avoida, so they had to learn Hilcha Shchita, Kabbalah Saddam, Zrika Saddam, etc. So those teachers, those Talmidei Chacham, were paid from Truma Salishka. Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Radifa b'shem Rabbi Imi, probably Rabbi Ami.
But how did they didn't have to deconstruct? How did they deconstruct?
Presumably in some similar form to what we said before, although we don't have here some tangible object, so you'd have to look in the Mefarshim what type of mechanic they used to be able to pay those salaries. There we had the object, we had the Omer, and we had the stones. Here, what are the objects that they use? Vaisalish, maybe they used put on a clay shoris, maybe a first time they did a shchita of carbon, maybe they imbued it with that. I'm not sure how they worked it out, but they had to do something similar. As we know, there were people that had to be mevaker, the kabbanis, to make sure that they didn't have any blemishes. This was a very special expertise. So they had to have people on the salary, on the working for the Beis Hamikdash to go mimavaka the woman. So they got paid for the Tumas Alishka. Reb Acher, Reb Tancha Bar Chiya b'shem Reb Siloy, Magihei Sefer Ho'azara, Noitlan Tzcharim b'Tumas Alishka. The Azara owned its own Sefer Torah, and this Sefer Torah was used every year by the Kohen Gadol who leaned on Yom Kippur, and it was used once every 7 years by the Melech who would go and lane by Hakel, which is Sukkis, right after the end of the Shemitah year. So that Sefer Torah had to be mugga from time to time. They had to go and have magiim who would review it to make sure that none of the ink fell off and that all the letters are intact, etc. So those magiim got paid from the Trumas Alishka. Others have another gears, and not Sefer Azara, but Sefer Ezra. And Sefer Ezra HaSoifer, he had a special Sefer. Ezra Soifer himself wrote it. He was the one that, you know, was in charge of the second Beis Hamikdash, Ezra and Nehemiah. So Ezra Soifer, he wrote his own Sefer Torah, and this was considered to be the most reliable text of any Sefer throughout the world. And for many, many, many years, people that wrote this Sefer Torah and they wanted to compare it in terms of chaseirois, v'yaseirois, spellings, etc., they used that Sefer of the Sefer Ezra. And this was such a special Sefer, I believe this was also housed in a lishka in the Beis Hamikdash. But regardless, the magiim of that Sefer received their parnasa from the Trumas Lishka. There were special two Dayanim in Yerushalayim. The reason why they're called Dayanim Gzeilos is because among their portfolio of cases that they had to decide were, chas v'sholem, any person that was accused of a theft. And they were very, very special. And in fact, the Gemara elsewhere refers to them not only as Dayanim Gzeilos, but as Dayanim Gzeirois. And Dayanim Gzeirois means that they were empowered to go and levy fines, knossois, on people that were caught with gezel or other types of felonies and other types of misdemeanors. So that's how they got that famous name, Dayanim Gzeilos and Dayanim Gzeirois. They were, oops, sorry.
What, they too, we have a Bezdin of three. How can we have two Dayanim? We have to have a Bezdin of three.
Maybe they added a third one to them to be able to institute. Or maybe they weren't so much the Dayanim on the Bezdin as much as they were in charge of writing the rules and regulations for the Batei Dinim. Anyway, the Gemara Ksubis at the end, the Daf Kofei, goes into this in greater detail, the Dayanim Gzeilis and Gzeirois, but they had a very, very important position. The question is, why should they be paid from Trumas HaLishka? And to say the Mefarshim, because they had to go and levy penalties, knasois, on, for instance, a kohen who did avoida when he was tamei, or when he had a mum, or if he was a cholo, to go and teach them a lesson, the Dayan Exavis would go and put a penalty on them. Or if it was discovered that a particular carbon was purchased with stolen money, money that was used in a theft, again, these Dayan Exavis would be brought in to go and either they legislated what the rules would be, or they adjudicated with the benefit of a third dying that they would chaperine with them. So they got paid Trumas HaLishka. Shmuel Omer Noshim Orgois Beparoiches, the Paroiches that stood between the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kadoshim, the women that would go and weave those, the Paroiches, the Shmuel Trumas HaLishka, they would also get paid. Rabchuna Omer, no, they got paid from Trumas Bedek HaBayis, which was a separate kasa, a separate account. Frankly, Mora, Ma Polik, what's the machloikis? I'll tell you what the machloikis is. Shmuel that says you take Trumas HaLishka, Shmuel Oved Lo Ki Karben. He said that the Paroiches had a status of a carbon. Rav Huna Oved Lo Ki Binyan, he said it had the status of a binyan. Now Rav Huna that he holds is like a binyan, that's very understandable. Because in fact, in the first base of Midish, where the dimensions were not as large as the second base of Midish, they had a wall in between the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kadoshim, of course with a door that you should be able to get into the Kodesh Kadoshim. The second base of Midish, however, had what's called the Amatraxin. Since it was so much taller, they didn't have a wall there, but they had this Machitza, which was called the Paroiches. So now, since this was Bim Koim a wall, so it has a din of a binyan, so I understand why you take the money from the Bedek Abayas. The question is, why does Shmuel hold its kikarbon? And the answer is because this Paroiches was used every year on Yom Kippur, and sometimes during the year, if there was a Parhel Dov Shel Tzibur, Parkoin Mashiach, where they would go and do Zerikos, Achas, Achas, V'Achas, Achas, Ushtayim, Achas Lamala, Sheva Lamata, as you all know. So these, therefore, it was, if you will, a machsher carbon. You needed the paroiches for purposes of the zrikas and hazois from those special karbanos and Yom Kippur, etc. So status like a carbon, you could took the money from the Trumas HaLishka. Taner Yehuda, here it says groy grois, on the bottom it says bar groy grois. What did Yehuda bar groy grois say? Toiris v'chol kabanos atziva boim Trumas HaLishka. Toiris. We didn't have k'toris before in the Mishnah. The Karban Eidah said that all kabbanas tzibur includes k'toris. So he says k'toris and all kabbanas tzibur, everything comes from Trumas HaLishka. Mizbeach hazoah v'chol kli shoreis, boin min moyser nesachem. What exactly is moyser nesachem? We'll see mishem tomorrow. There's going to be a machloikis, the definition of moyser nesachem. Mizbeach ha'oil v'heichel v'azorois, they come boin. Now our Gemara says mishiori HaLishka. However, the Vilna Goin changes the girsa and switches it around. Here it says, boin mishiori HaLishka, and then it says, chutz la'azores. Any binyan outside the azores, boin milishkas bedek habayis. Now this sounds a little bit strange, because outside the azore comes from the bedek habayis, and inside the Beis HaMikdash comes shiori HaLishka, and therefore he switches around. You see the ois gimel, hagroi segroa here on the side. He says that the mizbeach ha'oil, etc., is boin bedek habayis. Those are part of the construction, repair, and maintenance funds in the Beis HaMikdash. Chutz Azor is outside the Azor, like for instance the wall of Yerushalayim, that comes Mishiori Lishka. Funds that were not ultimately used for the Kabbalas, they stayed up in these boxes, they were used Shari Lishka. Okay. Frank Dimar, skip a couple of words. Vahatani, didn't we learn the Braisa, not Avni Mizbeach, Hahicha Vazores? Again, the Vilna Goin changes it. He says, Vatani, Avni Yerushalayim, this is Ois Talid, Avni Yerushalayim, where did they come? It says, Mi'alim, and there's a din of Mi'ila. Freit Yemara, you just got finished saying that anything which is Chutzla Azorois comes from the Shiorei HaLishka, from the Shirayim. V'chiyesh Mi'ila B'Shirayim? Is there Mi'ila B'Shirayim? There's Mi'ila in the actual Machtes HaShekels that were used for Trumas HaLishka, but the extra funds, the Chardos didn't have Mi'ila on them. It goes good to Meir. We had this from Meir yesterday, a couple of times. Meir, Omer Mi'al B'Shirayim, there's a din of Mi'ila by Shirayim as well. Gemara says, no, that teretz doesn't work. Amr Abchia, Amr Abchinna, Klum Amr Meir, El Betoch Shinasai. You know why Rav Meir sent me out in Bishirayim? In the year where you have the Shiari Alishka, what happens if it turns out that there isn't enough funds, or that some of the kabbanis that they bought became Balei Mumin, and therefore we have to go and dig deeper into the Lishka to get funds? There's no funds left in the three kupais. So then, since there is the possibility that the Shiari HaLishka will be used for a carbon, there's a din of Me'ilah. Bahacha, here we're talking about that the year is ended, and now we have Shiari HaLishka left over. What do we use those for? For communal needs, like repairing the walls of Yerushalayim. Bahacha chutz l'shnasa yanan kayam. So therefore, there should not be any din at all of Me'ilah, and yet it says that how can you go and say there's a Me'ila on those walls? Is the Chasimim that it did not come from the Shiari HaLishka? He either came from the Trumas HaLishka or from Lishka's Bedek HaBayis, but not from the Shirai. We have another Memra, Amr Abchia Tana Reb Yehuda, not good Gedon, yes, the same man the Yom as before, Reb Yehuda Bar Groy Grois. He said, Shulchan Amanoi Rav Nizbukhoi Faproichis Ma'akvenes or Kabanis, that you want to bring a carbon in the Beis Hamikdash, you have to have certain minimums in the Beis Hamikdash. It's not enough just to have the building in the Beis Hamikdash itself. You have to have the Shulchan, the Menorah, and the Mizbechos, and the Proiches. Without those, no carbon. Divrei Rav Meir. V'chum Oimrim, Eimachom Ma'akev Es HaKarbon, Ella, here it says, Kir V'kan Bilvod. Again, the Vilna Goin changes that Kirsa, and he says, rather, El HaKarkoi V'keren Bilvod. Pashim Shad Karkoi V'keren means we're talking about the Mizbech itself. You don't need the Shulchan and you don't need the Menorah. You need the Mizbeach, the Karkoiv, and the Kronois. You need that for the Dam. That's all you need for the Kabbalas. Says the Gemara, V'loichei, is that really true? Amr Blazer, Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina, Treyon Amrin, both of them say, Kol hein dechsiv noichach ma'akiv, tzela ena ma'akiv. Wherever you find in the Torah the word noichach, that's ma'akiv. If you find tzela, that's not ma'akiv. Where do you find Noichach? Where do you find Tzela? So the last line of the Takan Chadatin says, we have the Es HaMenorah Titen Noichach HaShulchan. So Noichach is referring to the Menorah. Noichach is Ma'akiv. Later on it says, VaShulchan Titen Al Tzela Tzofay. Tzela is not Ma'akiv. So therefore the Menorah is Ma'akiv. The Shulchan is not Ma'akiv. And you just got saying a moment ago, that either the Shulchan and the Menorah and the Mizbechos and the Paroiches, or according to the Chachamim, it's only the Mizbeach itself. And you see that, according to this man, the Amar, no, the Menorah is also Ma'akiv. It's not only the Menorah that's Ma'akiv, but the Shulchan is also Ma'akiv. And you said only the Mizbeach. What means Sima? So look at the first Taklin Chadatin here on the right-hand margin, that the end of Parshas V'yakel, after the construction of all of the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash, it says, V'yosem es ha'orayim, V'yosem es ha'mizbuchos, V'yosem es ha'paroiches, all the items that were needed for the Beis HaMikdash, V'yosem, they put them in place. It says Rav Shmuel Nar Nachman, wherever it says Sima, all of those things are ma'akiv. And you're telling me that the only thing that's ma'akiv is the Karkoiv and the Keren, which means the Mizbeach. If you're talking about such as those that are done on Yom Kippur or the Ketores, you know what's ma'akev for them? All of the things that you said, the Shulchan, mit the Menorah, and according to this, all those things which are enumerated in the Pasuk. However, if you're talking about Avodah Shebechutz, you want to bring the Karban Tamid in the Azara, none of those things are ma'akiv. The only thing which is ma'akiv is the mizbeach itself, nothing more and nothing less. This is a very, very important machlokes, because back in the mid-1800s, there was a big, big shaila that was sent to all of the Chachma Yisrael, such as Chassam Sofer, Rabbi Kiva Eiger, and all the other great sages that lived at that time. There was a new aliyah, the first aliyah perhaps, of Yidden coming back to Eretz Yisrael after so many generations, and they wanted to go and bring the Korban Pesach. Aye, everybody is Tomei, Korban Tomuhut Rebetzibur. So the question was, can you or can you not bring the Korban Pesach? And you have very, very long tshuvas. Our own Mr. Jules Brody on the west side should have a Rafia Shalema. I believe it's his grandfather that wrote a Gamsa Kuntris about this, whether it's permissible or not. And one of the things that L'Choyra is required is having a Beis HaMikdash. And the answer is no, you don't have to have a Beis HaMikdash. But you do have to have a Mizbeach. And that's in accordance with our Gemara, that the Mizbeach is Ma'akev. So that was one of the reasons that they gave. You couldn't bring it. Others, you didn't have Big De Kahuna, and other things of that nature. The Chassam Sofer finishes off his tshuva, that even if we can find answers to every one of the shailas, and yet this is not Ma'akev, and that's not Ma'akev, and this is not Ma'akev, and that's not Ma'akev, Chassam Sofer recommended not bringing the carbon anyway, because it would so infuriate the Umas HaOlam that we would have a war on our hands, a world war against Umas HaOlam, who's saying that we're trying to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash and to take Eretz Yisrael away, etc. So he recommended not to do anything. So we'll stop over here, Rabbi Yisai. Any questions?
Yeah. So just to review how they deconsecrated, so let's say in terms of the Avanim, they would borrow money from a Shulchani, then they would give it to the workers, then when they had the final product of the stones, they would then take the Trumas Alishka money,
and they would be mechala them onto the stones.
Okay, and then.
So the stones are now imbued with Kedusha. The monies are chulin. We use those monies to repay the Shulchani.
Okay, and the whole question of Surya was, you say that was a question of Kibush Yachid or Kibush or
Kibush Yachid Shmei Kibush Alav Shmei Kibush. Everybody agrees it has a semi-status of Eretz Yisrael, not full status, capital E-Y Eretz Yisrael, but Aleph Yud. It's somewhere in between. And therefore, for these purposes, says Rabbi Shmuel, sorry fellas, it doesn't have the status of Eretz Yisrael. You cannot bring Oymer or Shtei Lechem from Syria. It has to be brought from Eretz Yisrael proper.
But the other sheet is that you can, because it is Shmei Kibush then.
Correct. It could be even the one that holds Shmei Kibush, that's only for other purposes, maybe like Trumas and Maestris and Shemitah, but maybe not for Shtei Alechem and for Oymer. In other words, some things yes, some things not. It's a Sugi Masechtas Kedushin. It talks about Surya. One of the things it talks about, bring a get from Surya. Anyway, Vazokti Vaiter?
Vaiter is the stones of Yerushalayim. They said they are Mal. That's very strange, the Choma that people will sit on, they're makatef, they're, you know, Shabbos makatef, your knapsack on it, or what have you. So, you could be mal on those stones?
I don't think anybody put the knapsacks on it, but one of the things that you may be referring to is that people would stand next to it to get the benefit of the shade. So, in case it's a sunny day on the other side of the wall or something like that. I believe
it's almost
and some of you, the stones of the Yerushalayim, the wall, correct. So I believe,
not the base of me. There's just the outer. It's the walls of the city.
Walls of the city, exactly right. Av the Yerushalayim. That's how the Vilna Goyim is going to think about Av the Yerushalayim. So they also have a din of Me'ilah.
That's very strange. It seems you'd have to be so very careful then.
According to our Gemara, I don't know if we paskin that way, but that's what we don't often paskin like Yerushalmi. But nevertheless, you'd have to look in the Rambam whether that's lahalocha or not.
Yeah, I did not understand what are the Moiser Peirois.
The Moiser Peirois is strictly and exclusively according to Rabbi Shmuel. The word Peirois over here is like profits or income. Just like you say, when you do a mitzvah, the Keren Kayemis Leilam Abba, but you get paid the same by Olam Hazeh. And the payers that we're talking about, the profits, was because Rabbi Shmuel said that you can use some of the funds of the Shiori Alishka, money's left over at the end of the year, to go and invest in a business, to go and sell Yenoi Shmanim Uslosois. So at the end of the year, they might have made $100, $1,000, $10,000. That's the Moisir payers.
Also, the curtain in the second Beis HaMikdash, how often was it cleaned? Because the Gemara doesn't mention anything about the cost of cleaning and maintaining. If they drew blood on it, they had to be maintained. It had to be cleaned. How How was this procedure and who paid for it?
The Gemara says elsewhere that, Barry, you would like to respond?
No, why, who said he had to be clean? Rabbi Bloch gave a lecture at Young Israel, pointing an Italian Jew who was actually not disclosing his identity as Jewish, was brought down to the Vatican and actually saw what he did some service to the Vatican during World War II, and he was shown this curtain and it still had spots on it. He said it had to be clean.
I don't know about the...
This one Rabbi Black made this lecture in Young Israel around 10 years ago, where he cites somebody he met who says he saw a curtain that the Vatican claims is from the Bay of Mikdash, and it had blood spots on it. So who says it had to be clean? In fact, it's like the mountain of ash. The more blood spots on it, the greater the avodah will be edited from.
What you're saying, B'shem Rabbi Black, is consistent with another Gemara, that the Gemara says about one of the Amoraim that he was sent on a mission to Rome to be able to go and save Klal Yisrael from some terrible gezeira. And he performed a moifus there, and as a result the Kaiser said to him, you can go down to the Gneza of the treasury and take what you want, see what you want. Anyway, so he went into the treasury. The first thing he did is he found the royal decree against Klal Yisrael, and he took it and he ripped it up. Somewhat reminiscent of the story of Haman and Achashverosh, but Achashverosh says, can't go and touch that because of my holy ksaf. But it says in the Gemara that among other things that he saw there was the Pareiches, and he says he saw dam on the Pareiches. And the reason why the Gemara brings that is because it says that when the person was Mazah, it says, Lefneap ala Pareiches or Lefneap Pareiches. The question is, did the blood actually hit the Pareiches or not? And this Amoira says, what do you mean? I saw with my own eyes, and I saw that there were blood spots on the Pareiches going, you know, from top to bottom, achas, achas, ve'achas, achas, yishtayim, kimatzlif, like in a vertical column. So I don't know that, in fact, that they actually did clean it. It appears from that Gemara that the Pareiches had old blood spots from, blood stains from the years when they went and did the Hazois on it.
I have a question on the Amud Aleph. We have a principle that if something is, I understand that when you bring the Menachos of Omer, people shall korban, you bring grain, is much to cash it off it, but it's not. The barley is first processed and shipped round and made into a fine flour, barley flour, and then that's taken off it as. So is that shinoi we're talking about? You're saying it's the gufa. It's a word. The barley is not really. It's only a fraction of a fraction, as we said, of all that barley that's actually brought as the omer. So everything else, as it were, are makshire korban. All the surplus that's not used, all the chaff and all the other stuff, that's not actually part of the korban. That is necessary, but they're makshire korban. So why are we saying, well, that's kufishal korban, that's okay? It's not. It's only a fraction of kufishal korban. You can't designate a front. It's not like an animal. You say, this is the omer, the Muslim.
Barry, very good point. Let's assume it's 90% vis-a-vis 10%, just to throw out an example. So 90% is not going to be the gufishal korban, but the 10% will be the gufishal korban. And the Gemara says that everybody agrees in our Mishnah that if a private yachid were to go and donate the wheat for the shtei alechem or the barley stalks for purposes of the Beis HaMikdash for Omer, we would not accept it from him as a present. We would have to purchase it from tzibur funds. What's the reason why? Because we do not want to bring a carbon yachid. If this person is donating it and we don't pay for it, it's a carbon yachid. So you're right, the 90% will fall away. But the 10% he has donated. We have to go and pay him for at least that 10% donation. Okay?
I'm sorry, what was the 90% that fell away? I missed that.
It's because our Gemara doesn't go into it. I think it is a Mishnah Masechta Shabbos and perhaps a Menachos that says that when you brought your Karbin Mincha Sa'omer or the Shtei Alechem, you didn't just start off with the minimal amount that you needed for the Karbin Omer and for the Shtei Alechem. You started off with a much, much larger amount, and then you selected and you ground it, etc., and only a small portion was actually used. So that was Barry's question. What about the fall-off? The fall-off taka didn't have any din of kedusha. That's not an issue. it's the 10%. Again, this is an arbitrary number, but whatever was used for the actual carbon itself, this could not be a donation of a yachid. The kuli alamoidi, you have to pay for it from the Trumas Alishka funds to make sure it's a carbon tzibur.
Sure.
Baruchim to you. Okay, if everybody's questions are resolved. Sorry?
Looking ahead, next Monday, we're going to be we're back to regular schedule?
That's a very good question. Back to regular schedule. I do not expect to be back in Manhattan until Monday afternoon or Monday evening. So Monday morning, I will allow all of you to quickly get home after davening is over. And since there's laning, should we call it for 8 o'clock or 8:05? Does that make sense?
8:05.
Okay, 8:05.
Would you prefer 8 o'clock, Brother Shai?
It's better for me 8 o'clock, but I'll defer to Barry.
8:02.
8:05 it is.
Okay. Mitchum tomorrow morning, once again at 9:15. Have a good moyed. All the best to everybody.
Kol tov. Thank you.
Be well, Kol tov. Bye bye. Thank you.